Well, thank you, Uncle Bill. And you know, not only is today about joy and jokes and humors, but celebrations. And so I had to put on my Angels jersey so that we can celebrate that this season the Angels have not yet lost a game. Woohoo! Uncle Bill just put on his Dodgers hat. Yes, the Dodgers and the Angels are tied, and so we can all be friends as a church family, no matter if we're on the red side or blue side. Alleluia. Amen. With that, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, it's been a lot of jokes and fun today, but as we get to the word, we do get to the heart of the matter. And I have to tell you that in this time and especially during Lent, I took up more walking. That was part of my Lenten discipline, to walk more, and especially to walk the dogs, which makes them so happy. But now with the quarantine, what's it been? A lot more walking with the kids, and the kids riding their bikes and their scooters, and we go all over the neighborhood with our masks on, of course, because we are rule followers in the Dixon household. And as we weave through the neighborhood, one of my favorite streets to go down is 236th Place. It's the street right before Maddie's school, and as we head down to the street, the very last house on the left always makes me smile. Because what is the very last house on the left? But it is the home where Joan and Leo Huber used to live. And I have to smile, because every time I saw her, Joan Huber would make me smile. Some of you may know her, some of you may not, but Joan was just a bright light in this life. And we would go and we would visit her and bring communion. And I say we would visit her because Leo was always asleep when we would go and visit. And when Joan passed away, I had yet to even have a single conversation with Leo. But when Joan passed away, our hearts were all broken. To have lost such a bright and shining and joy-filled, faithful woman to this life. And she was one of the first funerals that I did here at Torrance First. And I vividly, so vividly remember that funeral. And why do I remember that funeral so well? Because never in my life have I spent so much time laughing and crying tears of joy as I did through Joan's funeral. Because that's the kind of life that she lived. That was the legacy she left. That was the only way to honor her life, was with celebration, joy, with telling of the jokes of Joan and laughing joyfully through it. She had lived a full and faithful life, and we celebrated her on that day. Now, the more interesting one was after Joan passed away, what happened? But Leo woke up. I don't know if some of the women remember, but one of my favorite things in remembering as I go by that house is Leo, who was always asleep, Leo, who had dementia that had him not really even there when he was awake. But all of a sudden, Joan passed away, and Leo woke up, and all of a sudden, I was getting reports from women in the church, "Pastor, how do we get Leo to stop hitting on us and asking us out on dates?" Oh, it just cracked me up. Here is a man who was asleep, gone from this world in so many ways, and all of a sudden he had the women fearing when he was coming around and if he was gonna hit on them. What a turn life takes sometimes, right? The hilarity of life and death, and sometimes the foolishness it seems coming with it. Foolishness, as in fools who spend their time laughing, rejoicing and joyfully living this life. Isn't that what God desires for us? To enjoy this life, to live it in such a way that our funeral leaves people with their sides hurting because they enjoyed reliving your life so much and telling about who you were. Here's the disciples. Jesus had just died and risen, and they're walking on the road to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Two of them, because it's safer to walk in pairs, y'all. Except when social distancing, 6 feet apart. But here they're walking, and Jesus comes along beside him. And I love what the text tells us. because it tells us that here they are walking along, and Jesus comes right up in their midst. But God, and to me with God's sense of humor, says, but they were kept from recognizing him. Here they get to spend all this time walking beside Jesus, walking beside him that they were mourning, him who they felt that they had lost even though he had risen from the dead. Here they were walking in their disappointment. Here they were walking not knowing exactly what had happened. And Jesus is right there with them. Could you imagine that? If you were walking on one of your toughest days, trying to figure out how to handle what felt like the worst moment of your life, and to have Jesus walking right beside you and to not even know it. And here Jesus begins to question them in dialogue as if he didn't know what's going on. What happened? I don't know. It kind of felt like a Becky and I conversation of Jesus kind of chuckling at them, thinking that he actually didn't know. And they begin to tell him the sad story of the Messiah who they thought was going to save them and how he was killed and how his tomb was empty. And they invite him to come along. But before so, see those words that Jesus has used? How foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. See, the folly comes right with Jesus. How foolish are you in your human mind to have thought what you had thought, but look at what I have in store for you. They take Jesus home, and they sit around the table, and as Jesus breaks bread, what does it say? But it says, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Sometimes this is us in life. Here we're going through things, and we're unable to recognize God's presence with us. We're unable to recognize the gift that is right there with us, that we're not alone, that we're not trying to handle something all by ourselves, but that God is right there with us, trying to help us process it, trying to help us figure it out, trying to help us understand what's going on, coaxing us along, asking us just the right questions. And at just the right time, what time? God's time. God reveals God's self and says, look, I've been here all along. I've been walking right alongside you. Don't be foolish in thinking I would leave you. Don't be foolish in thinking that I would leave you alone in your toughest of times. Here, I was here all along. Today is a day where we look at the balance of life. Thinking about Ecclesiastes, where it tells us in chapter 3 that there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Ooh, is that God talking about social distancing right there? A time to embrace and a time to not embrace. And a time to search and a time to give up. And a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. There's a time for everything. There is a time to be anxious, and there's a time to be peaceful. There is a time to mourn in what we have lost, and there's a time to rejoice in laugh, in enjoyment with what we have. There's a time for everything under the sun. And why is there a time for everything? Because in all of those times, God is with us. My friends, God is in our midst. God is with us seeking to bring us joy in this life, even in the midst of difficulty. God is here with us, to bring resurrection. God is here with us to bring new life. God is here with us to close one chapter and begin the next. God is here with us to take care of us and to ensure that we are never alone. My friends, on this day, we rejoice and give thanks for the story of Easter, for the story of Christ, for the story of resurrection, and for the story of our life received through Christ. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for foolishness, the foolishness that allows us to take the hearts and minds of children and just enjoy life, to take a moment out of our work and worry, to laugh and to enjoy our time with one another, to be silly, to be ones who are not passing up an opportunity to live with the happiness and joy that you have created us to have. We ask that you help us in this Easter season to find enjoyment in what we have, to see all of the blessings that you give us, and to open our eyes to see your presence that is all around us. For that presence is one of the greatest gifts that we have ever received. As we give thanks today for the gift of life, the gift of you, and the gift of your Holy Spirit that is always with us. For this we pray in your name. Amen.